Thank you. Oh, I need this, don't I? This is one of the greatest joys I've ever had as a pastor. You know, there's people in your life that you meet, Johnny, and they make an impact on you just for a few years. But then there's people that you meet that literally make an eternal impact on you. And this is one of those men right here. The man that's coming to preach for us this morning, he's done just that for me. He's probably my biggest hero in this world. You don't know this, but I'm going to tell you, when I find myself in a situation and I honestly don't have no idea what to do, which is often, I ask myself the question, what would Preacher Green do? And I usually end up making the right decision, to be honest with you. Preacher Green holds a special place in my heart and in my family's heart. Preacher Green led my dad to the Lord when I was just a few years old. Preacher Green was there the day I was born. My mom sent me a picture last night. He was there when I was dedicated. He held me in his arms just a few months after I was born. And he's one of the greatest men of God I've ever met my entire life. Now, y'all say amen if you're excited for the word this morning. So y'all see how y'all just said amen? I want to tell him a story. This is the first man who ever said amen to me. My mama made me get up when I was 3 years old on Sunday morning and sing Jesus Loves Me in front of the church. And no matter how bad or how shy I was doing it, there was a man sitting right there. And as I started to sing, he said, amen. And it about scared me to death. And it was him. So this is the first man who ever said amen to something. So you come on ahead, Preacher Green, and you preach for us today. Y'all say amen for him every now and then. It'll help him out, okay? Amen. All right. He brought his lunch, so this is going to be a long service.
I love you. Thank you. Yeah, several of the men thought, for sure, I have brought my lunch. Should I go back and get my lunch? This is an illustration, okay? So please keep that in mind. This is not to keep you here longer. It's simply an illustration of a very touching message to me. You know, I think about what God is doing in these days. I'm surprised we're still here, because I believe that the Lord is coming. I believe the stage is set, and all we're waiting on is that trumpet sound. And by the way, the group that sang that first song, we will remember, that's one of my favorite songs. I appreciate you singing it so much. I heard it served my wife, and I heard it. By the way, this is my wife, Marcia. Would you just stand, honey? We've been married 52 years. She was just a young teenager, and I was just a young adult. God's given us four precious children that are all adults and very successful in the business world. And, of course, we have one son that's in heaven, and we're looking forward to that glad day of being united with him. Now, it was a joy to pastor his family. The drivers are simply wonderful people. We love his dad, mom, his two brothers. And we're excited about their new baby that's coming too, are y'all? Amen. That's good. So praise the Lord for that. Now I want to make a little adjustment. I think I'm going to make just a little bit of adjustment. You don't mind me using this? Okay. This may make it a little bit easier. Thank you very much. I'm no longer a pastor, so I preach as God opens the doors. And the day that Justin called me, I'd asked the Lord that day, Lord, I would love to have opportunities since this thing is kind of getting behind us for an opportunity to preach. Well, earlier that morning, the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville called me, Pastor Logan, and asked me to preach Wednesday at 11 o'clock to the seniors. So I was rejoicing in that opportunity. And then that afternoon, my phone rings and I see it's Justin. And he says, I want you to preach for me on the 7th of June. So God, this is an answer to prayer. And I appreciate you, the Lord laying us on your heart. And we're so glad to be here. Now, if you would, and you have your Bibles, would you turn to Colossians chapter number 3. And this is simply to try to illustrate what we're going to preach Okay, Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse number 15, and we'll read through verse 17, then we'll go down and look at verse 23. Would y'all mind standing for the reading of the Word of God? If you're able to, if you can't, that's fine. God bless your heart, and we understand that. Looking at verse 15, well, let's go back to verse 14. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Then, if you would, please, down to verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, I'd like for us to focus on verse 17 and verse 23. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men. Precious Father, we thank You for this portion of Your Word. We bless and praise Your holy and glorious name for the instruction You give us. And whatever we do for Your glory, Your honor, and Your praise, and do it heartily. And I pray, God, that You'll bless Pastor Justin. Bless his dear wife. Bless his congregation. Thank You for the beautiful music today. We have just sensed Your presence and Your power, and we appreciate that so very much. May Your name be honored during the message. May the illustration be used of God to help all of us understand simple Bible truths. And Father, we'll thank You, praise You, and love You for it. And if there's anyone here that's not certain that heaven's their eternal home, I pray that today they'd get that settled and know beyond any and all doubt that heaven is their home because they've trusted Christ as their Savior. We love You. We praise You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so very much. This sermon, I could call it my $13 sermon. And you'll understand in just a moment. I could also call it the sweetest sermon I've ever preached. And you'll understand that too. Because this is to try to illustrate biblical truths. God gave this thought to me several years ago when I was seated with some preachers and they mentioned something that got my attention. And so we developed that thought back those days, and as I thought about today, what would God have me to preach, there are several things I wanted to, but boy, God has got a hold of my heart and said, this is what I want you to preach. And so we're going to give it our best, and I hope you'll give it your best. Amen? Now, when you think about the Bible, we're going to try to illustrate something very, very special and very simple. How many of you love candy? How many are lying? You love candy? Sure you do. So my illustrations is about candy today. Now, the Bible tells us clearly and plainly that every one of us, without exception, are zero. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God tells us very clearly and plainly in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. And then in Psalm 14 and verse 3, boy, that passage declares very clearly and plainly about the heart of mankind. For they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Then he says in Romans 5:12, therefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, when you come to the place where you realize that I'm just a sinner before a holy and a righteous God, I'm a zero. And when you come to that conclusion, admitting before God, yes, I am a zero, then God's ready to do business with you. And I thank the Lord for that. Then, when you think about being a zero, there's something that has to take place for you and I to know Christ as Savior and know that heaven is our eternal home. And that is, a payday. You see, God tells us in His Word that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid for our sin debt. He paid it in full. Aren't you glad He did? Aren't you glad He loved you so much and loved us so much as zeros that He went to the cross, shed His blood that we could be saved by the grace of God? When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He had made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Yes, there is a payday. By the way, this is my wife's favorite candy bar, so you can't have it, okay? So anyway, Jesus paid our sin debt in full that we could be saved. He shed His blood, had that sinless, spotless blood on Calvary's cross, and paid in full our sin debt that we could be saved by the grace of God. And we praise the Lord for that. In Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, zeros, Christ died for us." And although, let's think about this. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ will pay the wages of sin in hell forever and ever. Aren't you glad that Christ paid our sin debt that we could be saved by the grace of God? Well, when you think about the Lord Jesus paying for our sin debt, what takes place when you ask Christ to come in your heart and to save your soul? Well, that's amazing. He makes you a Mr. Goodbar. You see, the Bible said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." And boy, you think about this. When you think about that old... Well, there's a dear preacher named Barry Spears. I believe you know him. He was at one time a member of Hell's Angels. At one time, I pastored his mom and dad and his wife and children in Columbia, South Carolina. But I couldn't do a thing with him but pray for him. Well, 17 years ago, God answered the prayers of his parents and his wife and a lot of believers and saved his soul. Then God called him to preach. And he preached his daddy's funeral Friday week ago, one of the most powerful funeral services I've ever attended in my life. I mean, boy, the singing. The first song he sung was, "Love the People That God Gives You." That's an amazing song. And boy, he sung that, and boy, it set the pace for that whole service. But God, if God can save him, He can make him into a Mr. Goodbar. Because I knew what his life was like before he got saved. Now I know what it's like that he's saved, and he is a Mr. Goodbar. And so he's a new creature in Christ Jesus, and we praise God for that. And then there is the fact that once you become a believer in Christ, you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You see, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." You become a Babe Ruth. Think about Ruth, the precious Moabitess woman that God wonderfully, wonderfully used in the Old Testament and is part of the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But here we think about growing in Christ. Beloved, when you get saved by God's grace, you need to fall in love with the Word of God. Fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fall in love with your church. Fall in love with your pastor and his wife. Fall in love with your fellow members. I mean, just be totally in love and grow in grace and knowledge of the Word of God. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Now, if you're just a newborn Christian, you're obeying Christ. And think about when you go, when, by the way, when you go to the store and look at the candy bar aisle, you'll never be the same. It'll never be the same. Because you, I hope you think about this sermon when you look at all that candy. And but don't pay it, buy it all, because it'll cost you $13. And then when you trust Christ as Savior, as your Mr. Goodbar and your babe in Christ, and then there's something that's really special. And this is so special, and I praise God for it, because listen to Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. Now, aren't you glad the Holy Spirit of God resides in us? He will never leave us nor forsake us. And so he's that precious dove. You think about that. My wife and I, we love to sit out in our patio when it's cool enough. And doves love to come around in our part of the area of our where we live. And it's great to hear those birds. They just make that beautiful sound. They're beautiful birds. But aren't you glad for the dove of the Holy Spirit? The moment he convicted you, the moment you got saved, he came to live within you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So think about the dove. And then when you think about the dove, you think about the grace of God. God's amazing, wonderful, glorious grace. And we praise God for that. And you see, grace, the number five is the grace of God. So when you think about grace, think about take five. You got the grace of God. And that grace not only brings you to the saving knowledge of Christ, but it keeps you and maintains you and enables you as you go through life. Listen to these verses in 1 Timothy 1, verse 2, 12 through 14. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for the account of me faithful, put me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained it, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? And when you think about take five, that is God, abundant, sufficient, abounding grace in your and my life every day. You know, in these days of the pandemic, in these days of what's going on all across our country, I'm grateful that God gives His people grace. In fact, I like what the preacher said a while ago. We just got tired of watching the news. I mean, absolutely up to our neck and beyond it. And so we watched a couple of videos the last several nights. Courageous, a tremendous movie. Overcomer, a tremendous movie. We just wanted to change venue, period. Hallmark, we done got tired of all those. So we got these others. But anyhow, thank the Lord for the grace of God. And God will give you grace and give us grace as we go through the pandemic and whatever this other thing that God is trying to do in America. Now, when you trust Christ as Savior, and you the Holy Spirit of God lives in your soul, and you know the grace of God, then something else comes with it. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And let's think about this. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. You love almond joys? It's one of my favorites. Yeah, but aren't you glad we can have the joy of the Lord? I mean, that joy that's real, that the Scripture says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Then Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Think about joy. We need to know that joy is real in our lives. And when there's heartache, there's suffering of all kinds and all sorts. Back in December, my wife's only brother died very rapidly, suddenly, a sudden death. And that broke her and all of our family's heart. A good, gracious, godly man. But thank the Lord, we can know the joy of him trusting Christ as Savior. We know he's with his Lord and mom and dad. And one day we're going to be together again forever and ever. And we praise God for that. Then listen to these two other verses. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Fullness of joy. Then Acts 20 and verse 24. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's ministry in Acts 20, he'll be pleading to see Caesar and go to Rome. But he says, in all that he was facing, and all the trials and all the sufferings that he went through, he said he enjoyed, there was a joy to him. You think about a joy of being scourged, a joy of being beaten with rods, a joy of being put in prison and out of prison and in prison, in nakedness and darkness and suffering and cold, and all the misery that Rome could hurl upon him and the religious crowd. But yet Paul said there was joy that was real in his life. And beloved, listen, all of us that know Christ as Savior, whatever happens, God can and will give you joy. He's the author of it. And then, something else. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 23, And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said to them, Give place. The maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. You see, the world, the flesh, and the devil will snicker at you. I mean, just snicker and laugh at you over and over again. So you are a Christian. You believe in Jesus. You think the Bible is the best book in the world. You go to that church, they'll laugh at you. They'll mock you. How many times have you heard the name Jesus mocked? More times than we want to admit. How many times have you heard Christians laughed at and ridiculed because they stand for Christ? More times than you want. Yes, the world will snicker at believers because, see, the world, the flesh, the devil will laugh at you. And my brother and sister in Christ, he will snicker and just have all kind of fun with your, quote, testimony for Christ. So when you think about the snicker bar, think about what the devil does because you are a born-again, blood-washed, heaven-bound, hell-proof, born-believer. So snickers. But there's something exciting about to take place. How many of you believe that Jesus' need is coming? I know people have said over and over again, hey, y'all have said this for a long time, but he's not here. Well, don't you worry. He is coming. If you got your Bibles, would you turn to 1 Thessalonians? And I want us to look at a couple of verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 16 and 17. And these verses read, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Notice this. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. If you mark your Bibles, I would underline Himself. Not someone in place of Him, but the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. What's that next word? Together. Together again forever. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what is that all about? Are you ready? Fast break. I mean, we're going to move out of here in a hurry. When you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, It talks about the twinkling of an eye. Here he talks about the last trump, the shout, that the saints of God are going to be out of here. Yes, that's going to be a fast break. Just think about this. The world is being affected right now by this pandemic. Hundreds of people have died. In fact, two friends of mine in the ministry were diagnosed after preaching. In fact, Brother Kenny Baldwin, who pastors in Crossroads Baptist Church in Northern Virginia, he preached on the 15th of March from Psalm 31 and verse 15. My times are in thy hand. And that week he was diagnosed with the disease, put in a hospital. And one of his cries was, God, give me a chance. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord, God did. And he's at home and doing well. And then another evangelist, Brent Carr. He lives in South Carolina. He's married, got two precious girls. And he too caught the virus and was in the hospital. And he too struggled, but God raised him up. He's back on the road now preaching the gospel. This thing is serious, folks. This thing is serious. And there's young people and young adults and seniors that are passing on because they catch this virus. And so the world is trying to explain why all this disease is here. But what are they going to say when all the Christians are gone? I guarantee you there's going to be one person that arrives to the scene. And by the way, I think they're looking for him right now. That one person is the Antichrist. And beloved, he may be on site somewhere in this world. But he will not be identified, and we won't know who he is till we're on the other side. But aren't you glad there's a fast break coming? One glad day. That trump's going to sound. That shout's going to be given by the Lord. And we are going to be out of here in the twinkling of an eye. Praise his holy and glorious name. So when you see fast break, try to hold your dignity at the store and don't shout too much. Because we're going to be out of here one day. Amen? We're going to be out of here. Now, then after you think about fast break, God's Word, inspired, inerrant, infallible, teaches us very clearly that God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come and will resurrect every sleeping believer and will gloriously translate every living believer, and together we shall rise and meet Christ in the air. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. And you know, when the rapture takes place, something's going to happen. We're going to go past the Milky Way. I mean, we're going to go past the Milky Way. I wanted to find a Mars bar, but I couldn't find one. But anyway, we're going to go across and past the Milky Way and be in that third heaven with our Lord and our Savior at that fast break in the rapture when He comes back again. Amen. Now, with all that being said, what am I supposed to do now? Well, God has a reason for us being left behind. God has a reason for this time in our life. And you know what that reason is? That you and I can be lifesavers. Amen? Lifesavers. Think about this. Every dollar that you place for worldwide missions, you're a lifesaver. The other day, Monday, I sat beside two precious men. One was my former assistant pastor that God called to go to a country called China. And he and his wife served the Lord there. But now they're home. They're not going to be able to go back. Seeking God's will for their life and ministry beyond these days. And then another preacher. He's now 57 years old. He's retired from the business world. But he and his wife had just submitted and surrendered to be missionaries with a dear friend of ours, Rick Groover, laboring for Christ. And we praise God, they want to be lifesavers. So every dime that you put in missions, and every time you pray for a missionary, as you read a while ago, boy, we don't understand. Think about this thing is worldwide and how missionaries cannot get back into the country or they can't get out of the country. They need our prayers. So when you have your prayer time, I hope and pray that you'll remember the missionaries your church supports, loves, and pray for them faithfully. Then not only do we give our dollars to missions, pray for the lost. You know, I told people, I said, I'm going to be preaching in Dallas, North Carolina. Of course, when you say Dallas, you know what they think of. But I had to make sure they knew it was North Carolina. And so, but I'm satisfied, even a town that's under 5,000 in population, there's a lot of people here that need to be saved. And so, beloved, you can be a lifesaver. You can be a lifesaver by praying for that lost person. Can I ask you a question, and would you be honest with me? How many of you know someone, whether friend or family, that needs to be saved by the grace of God? Would you lift your hand? Wow, that's most of us. Be a lifesaver. Call their name out before the Lord. Ask God to break their heart and to save their soul. Then every tract, every gospel tract. Think about this. You give a tract away. Let me give you a little idea. A preacher friend of ours who's now a retired missionary gave me this thought. When you go buy gasoline and you got gospel tracts with you and you take that gas and put it in your car and you put that handle back, insert a gospel tract. Because the next person that may come along will take that tract and sometime, someplace, somewhere will read that tract and may come to know Christ as Savior. That's just one illustration. Of course, when you go out to eat, make sure you give not only a good tip, and then give a tract. Give a witness. Yes, be a lifesaver. So, every dollar to missions, every prayer for the lost, every tract given, and then every door that you knock on. And I'm satisfied this church knocks on doors. I'm sure you go out visiting when this thing is over. Right now it's really hard and difficult. But knock on doors. Invite folks to know Christ. And then at every opportunity God gives you, testify of the grace of God. Yes, we as God's people have a grand and glorious day awaiting us. And we must trust our Heavenly Father, trust our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of God to use us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Be a lifesaver. Be a lifesaver. In conclusion, if you would turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. And I want you to look at chapter 1. If you're able to turn. And if you mark your Bible, you might want to do this. Some of you may have already done this. But who are we? Well, I'm a born-again believer. I'm a member of this precious church. I love my family. I love my God. I love my Savior. But what has God done for you? Look at chapter 1 and verse 3. Who have blessed us. All of us are blessed by becoming a member of the family of God. Richly and wonderfully blessed. And then look at verse 4. According as He have chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. So He's blessed us and He's chosen us. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So we've been adopted. Adopted by Christ. Then look at verse number 6. We've been accepted in the Beloved. He has made us accepted and beloved. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through the blood. Aren't you glad we have redemption through the blood of Christ? And then look at verse 7 again. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So not only do we see in these early verses, He's blessed us, He's chosen us, He's adopted us, He's accepted us, He's redeemed us, He's forgiven us. Think about that. What sins are you talking about? When God forgave you of sin, He forgave you of all sin. And the old devil wants to remind you of something done in the past or said or whatever. Remind that old creature. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. and that sin is forgiven by God Himself. It's gone. It's gone. So think about how I'm forgiven. One of the greatest things in the world is to know that before a holy and a righteous God, I am a forgiven man or woman, a forgiven teenager or child. I'm forgiven. Then down in verse 13, notice these words. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Aren't you glad that Holy Spirit not only comes to indwell us, but He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed, and we praise God for that. Then look down at verse 15. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, faith in Christ. Then look at verse 18. I have hope of His calling. Verse 18. The hope of His calling. Aren't you glad we have hope? And aren't you glad that we have a blessed hope that we're going to fast break out of here one day? Amen? And then 19. We have the power of God. The power of God. His mighty, mighty power. And then look at verse 20. And it says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Aren't you glad that we have Christ and that He saved our soul? I'm glad to know that I'm saved by the rich, marvelous, wonderful grace of God. Well, that's my $13 sermon. I hope it's something that give you a little joy this morning. Give you a little refreshment. Give you a little bit of encouragement. And to help you to get up and keep going for Christ. Whatever happens, whatever takes place, just honor, love, and serve Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Would you stand with me, please? Now, that this thing being empty, that my sermon's come to a close. But it's invitation time. We're going to have a song of invitation. And what I want to do before I pray, I want to encourage you. If you know Christ as Savior, praise God. If you've never been saved and don't know it for sure or having some doubt, you come and talk to the pastor. Let him pray with you or have someone pray with you. They want to help you spiritually. And then if you really sense the burden to come and to pray for that lost friend or family member, I pray for this nation, our president, our governor. Pray that God would help us in these critical days. Would you please? Now, Father, thank You for these moments we've had together. Appreciate so much Pastor Justin and his dear wife. Thank You for the ministry that You called him to. Thank You for a loving, caring, praying church family. And I pray that You'll bless these moments of invitation. May the Spirit of God move in a very real and special and precious way. For those who have a burden on their heart for some soul to be saved, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would use their prayer, use their witness, use that gospel tract, use that word of encouragement to bring that soul to the Lord. And then, Father, we pray for those that have special needs at this time. They'll turn those needs over to You, know that You will give them joy and that You will supply that need. Lord, may Your holy and divine and perfect will be accomplished at this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.